Welcome to the podcast of Mosaic Church, celebrating diversity within community.
All right. Well, I'm going to read all of Matthew 13 down to verse 43. And then we're going to talk specifically about 24 through 43. And we are getting started a bit later on that, so it's not like we're going to recoup that time at the end, all right? There's a lot that Jesus kind of ties up together here. So it starts out like this, verse 1. On that day, Jesus went out of the house and was sitting by the sea. And such large crowds gathered around him that he got in a boat and sat down. And while the whole crowd stood on the shore, and then he told them many things in parables, saying, consider the sower who went out to sow. As he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it didn't have much soil, and it grew up quickly, and since the soil wasn't deep. But when the sun came up, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it, and still other seed fell on good ground and produced fruit, some 100, some 60, and some 30 times what was sown. Let anyone who has ears listen. And when the disciples came and asked him, why are you speaking to them in parables? He answered them, because the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you for you to know. But it's not been given to them. For whoever has, more will be given to him, and he will have more than enough. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. This is why I speak to them in parables, because looking they do not see, and hearing they do not listen or understand. Isaiah's prophecy is fulfilled in them, which says, you will listen and listen, but never understand. You will look and look, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown callous. Their ears are hard of hearing, and they have shut their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn back, and I would heal them. Just a side note right here that I didn't bring out 2 weeks ago when I taught on this message. This is the exact same passage from Isaiah that Paul uses talking to the Jews in Rome when they come to him, and he tells them about Jesus and he tells them about the Messiah and they have a hard time with it. This is what Paul tells them. Blessed are your eyes because they do not see and your ears because they, blessed are your eyes because they do see and your ears because they do hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see the things that you see and didn't see them, to hear the things you hear but didn't hear them. So listen to the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word about the kingdom and doesn't understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the one that was sown along the path, and the one sown on the rocky ground is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, but he has no root and is short-lived. When the distress or persecution comes because of the world, immediately he falls away. Now the one sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the worries of this age and deceitfulness of wealth choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. But the one sown on the good ground is the one who hears and understands the word, who does produce fruit and yields some 100, some 60, and some 30 what was sown. Here's our focus for this morning. He presented another parable to them. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who has sown good seed in this field. But while people were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and left. And when the plants sprouted and produced grain, the weeds also appeared. The landowner's servants came to him and said, Master, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Then where did the weeds come from? An enemy did this, he told them. So do you want us to go and pull them up? The servants asked him. No, he said, when you pull up the weeds, you might also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until harvest. At harvest time, I'll tell the reaper, gather the weeds first and tie them in bundles and burn them, but collect the wheat in my barn. He presented another parable to them. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It's the smallest of all the seeds, but when it's grown, it's taller than the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the sky come and nest in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and mixed into 50 pounds of flour until all of it was leavened. And Jesus told the crowds all these things in parables. He did not tell them anything without a parable, so that what was spoken through the prophet might be fulfilled. I opened my mouth in parables and will declare things kept in secret from the foundation of the world. And then he left the crowd and went to the house. And his disciples approached him and said, explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field. He replied, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed, these are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. Therefore, just as the weeds are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather from his kingdom all who call sin and those guilty of lawlessness. They will throw them into the blazing furnace where they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then the righteous will shine like the sun in their Father's kingdom. Let anyone who has ears listen. Let's take a second and pray. God, for all the things that you have taught us, we're thankful. We pray that you would teach us here and give us wisdom, that we may know what you are speaking to us specifically through these verses. In your name we pray, God. Amen. So before I share anything, I wanted to have some space to see if there is anything from you guys or any questions or anything that you observe that you would like us to know that maybe God shows you.
Choking out the weeds, nor are the weeds responsible for choking out the wheat in this case. They're just coexisting at that time. They're not trying to convince one to be the other or anything like that. It's a true case of you'll be recognized by your fruit, and it's not necessarily important that you be recognized in the context that we want to be recognized, but that we're recognized by the harvester, by the angels, by God himself. That's who's going to recognize our fruit that we put out there.
Mm-hmm. So if you weren't able to hear that, or if you're joining us online, what Colin just said was one of the things that stands out to him was that the weed and the wheat grew together. They weren't choking each other out. One wasn't killing the other or vice versa. And that the interesting thing is that it was the harvester's job at the end to recognize which fruit was good and which was weed and to place judgment there in that. It wasn't our job to do that. Our job was just to grow up. I think there's some thoughts I have around that for sure that we talked about the other day and that I continue to ruminate on. But yeah, that's good. What else? Anything? Well, this is not your only option. You can certainly yell at any point, and we'll go. But here's a couple things I find interesting. As we look at the parable of the weed and the wheats, or if you're the old English or the King James is stuck too much in your brain, the wheat and the tares, right? If any of that is. I think one of the most interesting parts about that is kind of like Colin said, is that they grow together. There wasn't a desire to even separate them. And I think that is the most interesting thing of all of it to me. Because when you get to Jesus's answer, when they said, hey, explain to this this parable, Jesus doesn't explain the part. I don't know how you feel about it. Jesus doesn't explain the part that I was curious about. Sorry, Dad. Jesus didn't explain the part that I was curious about, which is, why did you let them stay together? You know, that's the part that I'm the most curious about. He just basically told us, here's the players in the game. And basically, hey, there's going to be a judgment. And maybe that's what the disciples were wondering, and Jesus knew that, and so he answered that. What I was wondering is why does he wait to separate them. Sure. Yeah, I mean, I think that's certainly as we go through that, part of it is that there is a light-bearing aspect to it. And I think ultimately that is, like, our job is not to know the answer. And so we're jumping. I'm tempted to jump all the way to the end real quick. But yeah, I mean, I think if we do jump all the way in real quick, that is kind of the ultimate thing, is our job is to do what we are planted to do, and that is just to grow and to bear the fruit that is expected, right? That's all the wheat's job is. I mean, wheat can't do anything else. It can just grow right there where it was planted and produce the grain head and then be done. You know, that's it. But it is interesting that, you know, I think sometimes, and I think you're right, Mary, but I think sometimes as we kind of walk through the world and we see all the bad stuff that can go on because those things aren't separated, right? It's like, why? Why did you wait so long? We want a quick and direct response. If we're being honest, when we look at what God is doing, especially even in this parable, but as we extrapolate this parable out to our lives, if I'm being honest, what I really want sometimes is a very quick, direct response to evil and sin. When I see something that's unjust or, you know, that's sinful, that's evil, that's not, you know, that's not the same for everybody. Like, there's some measure of injustice in it. I want it corrected right then. I want everybody to know that person's evil, bad, sinful, and it be corrected, and there be judgment placed right then, right? Am I the only one who's like that? All right, I saw a couple smiles. But that is kind of what we want. But what do we see Jesus doing? Because I think Jesus wants that too. Like, Jesus wants everything to be made right. That's why he came. That was his purpose. And I think those people who would have been frustrated at that back then would find, if they continue to follow Jesus, that he actually did set it all right a lot quicker than they expected, but yet we're still not fully there. But Jesus has won that. He has kind of done that. And so it's interesting that there's this waiting piece that God puts into it, that we're just waiting. There's this patience that's kind of being built into all these parables. Because think about the mustard seed. You want that, you know, the bird may want that tree to be there right now so you can build a nest. But you can't do that, right? What did Jesus tell us? You put it in the ground, it dies. But then once it dies, it springs forth and it gives branches and ability for, you know, birds to nest there. And I don't know that a mustard seed is, you know, I don't know that that tree creates enough shade for somebody. I guess if you lay down there and get under it, you can grab some shade, but we want it now. Think of dough. Like, if you ever made dough, now I am not a dough maker, but I did it one time. There was a war of pranks that went on in my church when I was a kid. See, I'm being generous to myself when I say a kid. What I really should share with you is I was in college. So I was mature enough to not do these things, but yet I did them. And there was this war going on between the staff of this church and us. And so we set out, if you, anything about Friar, like, I will always outdo you 100 times more than you did me. That's just how I'm wired. And so I was like, how can we really get these? Because our youth pastor had done some things to one of our buddy's cars, and we're like, we're going to pay him back. You know, we're going to get him. And so one of the things I did at the, and this will tell you how deep it runs in my family, my dad gave me this idea, was I made a batch of dough. I didn't know how to make dough, so I'm I don't even remember how I looked up. I'm sure my mom had a recipe card or something, because this is in 1996 and there is no internet to look it up. Or there is, but it's not that readily available. And so I made this batch of dough. But Dad's like, but you want to get yeast in there so that it rises. And here's what you're going to do, son. You're going to put it in his mailbox on Saturday night, because the mail doesn't run on Sundays. And so all day, this is in the middle of July, all day it'll bake in his mailbox. So that, and we did not spray Pam in that mailbox, in case you're curious. So this is what we did. But I had to, you guys are kind of now painting the picture of what took place now. But I had to put this little bitty packet of yeast in. It was just a little bit, right? And I put it in this big bowl of dough, but then I had to kind of mix it in and then leave it there for a while. And this little bit of dough permeated this entire batch. And Jesus is saying, that's what's going to happen, but it takes patience. It doesn't happen like that. And I'll just tell you, my prank was successful, in case you're curious, just to wrap that bow on that story. But it was beautiful. We did all this stuff to him, and he thought he got us. He watched us do it from his window. And he got out there and cleaned it all up for his wife, woke up the next day, so he thought like he had fooled, until he went out to get his mail on Monday. And then he realized he didn't clean everything up. So we got him, yes. But, and if he's listening to this podcast, I denied everything, and so now he's finding out the truth. He is still with us. His name's Billy Gallon. He lives over in North Carolina somewhere now. But anyway, it takes patience, and that's what Jesus is building in all these stories. The tree takes patience to grow. The leaven, the yeast takes time to build its way through this entire batch of dough. It doesn't take a lot, it just takes a little bit. And it goes through this whole batch of dough. The farmer, he has to wait to the end of the age to get what he planted. He has to wait till it's time to harvest to get what he planted. Now, there were some things we kicked around on Wednesday, like maybe the weed and the wheats looked the same until they got to a certain level of maturity, and then you could tell. And I like that because it seems to make sense until you realize that they know right away that weeds are in there. So that does create a bit of a problem for that part of the story, right? Like if they're not yet mature, it's not yet time to harvest, but they can tell there's weeds out there, then obviously they didn't look that similar. But Jesus tells a story of just waiting. Waiting on the tree to go, waiting on the yeast to permeate this batch of dough, waiting on God to act. And perhaps as Jesus is telling the story, he has his eye on the revolutionary people of that day, right? Because there was a lot of that. We're coming in the Jewish world, we're coming right out of this time where the Maccabees, I mean, we're just 100 years or so removed from the Maccabean Revolution, and they're trying to overthrow Rome and take back what's theirs and do this stuff, and they're waiting on the Messiah to come and do that. And maybe Jesus is talking to those folks who have revolution on their brain, who are all too ready, right, to step into God's field and judge which one was good and which one was bad and pull out the bad, so that the good can stay together. Because that's what they wanted, Mary. What you described was what they wanted. Their own isolated kingdom, all to ourselves, where everybody's with us and for us. And but at the heart of the parable, the weeds and the wheat, is the note of patience. The patience of the servant who has to wait and watch. But not just that one, also the patience of God himself. And then when he gets to the answer, Jesus doesn't give us probably the answer we really want. Jesus kind of tells us, here's who the players in the game are. We got children of the devil, children of light. We got the farmer who's God. We got the field, it's the world. We got the harvesters who's the angel. The harvest is the end of the age. The devil's the one who planted these evil children of his in the world. But as he's telling us this story, interesting thing is, at the end of the age, as Colin pointed out, who did the separating? It was the harvesters. It wasn't us. It wasn't the weed or the wheat that got to make the determination on who was who. It was the harvester. Jesus removes from us, or removed from them in that moment, the ability to judge, and kept it for himself. So we don't get to pick who's the weed and who's the wheats. And that can be problematic for us because we really want to. Because if we can pick out who the weed and the wheats are, I mean, let's just imagine, and I know we don't really have to imagine too much, that there's a big election and they're telling us, hey, you only got two choices. And man, some people are really for one choice and some people are really for the other choice. And if you listen to some people, they'll tell you this choice is the devil. And you listen to other people, they'll tell you that choice is the devil. It's like maybe they both are the devil. I don't know. But they're trying to kind of pit this thing against us. And we want to be able to say that choice is wrong. You're bad. I want to prove it to you. I want you to see it right now so that I can stand victorious and right. And we can take that from an election down to an argument in a family. Or an argument amongst friends, or a disagreement in a classroom, or a disagreement in the workplace. We want the other to be known as wrong so that we can be known as right and be celebrated right then, which is an immediate reward. And all through Scripture, we never get an immediate reward. It was always like, your reward is going to be well done, my good and faithful servant, which is all the way at the very end. Even after you die, and we haven't done a great job, in my opinion, of making that seem worth it enough. Like we do, like we're like, yeah, I want to hear that, but also want to be right and known as right here as well. And Jesus is like, that, you don't get that. You don't get that. That's mine to give out. So, I told you I wasn't going to recoup all that time. So we're going to wrap it up right here. Because here's the reality. All of us who live after Calvary happened, after Easter, after the redemption, after God did set everything straight, we know that God indeed did act immediately and suddenly all the way back then. When today, we long for God to act, to put the world to right. We must remind ourselves that he has already done so. And that we are now just waiting for the full outworking of all these events. And we get to be a part of that. Like God allows us, even as the wheat, to be a part of that. To kind of like Mary said, to show our light in darkness. Because we don't get to pick who the weed and the wheats are. My son asked me the other day if a certain political candidate was a believer. And I said, you know what? If I'm just looking at the fruit of what I see, I would say no. But does that mean that person is removed from any ability to be redeemed? No. Hey, we got to pray for these people. And that goes all the way down to the lowest nobody, all the way up to the most important person. If we're looking at the world standards of right and wrong and who's important and who's not important, that goes all the way across the board because we don't get to make that call. Imagine what that would look like if Paul had been able to exact his revenge in the ways that he did without God intervening. Truth is, and this is where Paul, as he's writing his story, and he's writing to churches, and he's continually telling his story, he has a hard time finding a lot of condemnation towards other people because he realized, like, if God was going to pick the wheat and the weeds out right then and give immediate judgment, I'd have been done. It'd have been over for me. But God, in his great mercy, did something that was unexpected. And it always is happening. We can put a death knell in something and then God creates life from it. And he does it all the time. Sometimes in these big dramatic moments like he did with Paul, and sometimes in small acts of forgiveness and reconciliation that go unnoticed by most people, but mean the world to those who are involved in it, right? Like, we don't get to pick who's the wheat and the weeds. We just get to be the light in the middle of it. We get to be the weed in the middle of it. We get to just be there and let God do what God does. And so with that, that is our encouragement this morning. That is our challenge this morning. That is what we have to wrestle with this morning. And so with that on our hearts and minds, I did want to stop and just see, did anybody else have anything? If not, I want to pray. In a second. You can tell her we're about to pray. You can tell her we're about to pray. It'll be about 3 or 4 more minutes. Bye. Anything? Okay. Well, then let us pray, and we're going to pray not only for God to seal this in our hearts and help us to understand it, especially in places where maybe we've been trying to find the ways to judge others. Because if you're like me, like, I find myself doing that on like a nearly daily basis, and have to then remind myself, if it was not for God, you would, in fact, you still need God daily, right? We should have put it on there, Lord, I need you every hour, I need you. This morning we did not, but we'll pray for God to kind of seal us in our hearts to help us know this, but we'll also pray for those requests we mentioned earlier. I did want to mention, hopefully I didn't hear all the prayer requests last week, but recently, after 101 years, Deb said goodbye to her mother, and so 101 years is amazing, still tough, but she did just send the church a card. The church sent some flowers or plants over. So I just want to read this to you guys because I get it, but I wanted you guys to get it. Mosaic Church family, thank you so much for the beautiful flower plant arrangement in my mother's memory. We truly appreciate your thoughtfulness and your friendship and your support. Love, Deb and Doug and Isabel or Isabella?
Isabel.
Isabel Rung family. That was your mom's name? Perfect. Well, we certainly are glad you were there, and we've been praying for you, and just want to let you guys know that. So we're going to pray for all those requests that we mentioned earlier, and for God to kind of continue to convict us and remind us that we are not the harvester. Let's pray. God, we are thankful. We're thankful that you make it so easy for us, and we try to make it hard. You allow us just to have the freedom to be, exist, and grow right where you plant us, and we try to do so much more. And so, God, forgive us for that. Give us gentle reminders when we're trying to do more, when we're trying to do your job, and when we should just be being faithful to what you've asked us to do, which is just to grow where we're at. God, we pray that you would give us wisdom in those moments, because you certainly, and even Paul certainly, understood that there were moments where people did need to be corrected in the moment and held to account just so they knew. But may it always be for the may our purpose in our heart always be for forgiveness and reconciliation with their creator, and not so that we can be right and they could be wrong. God, those that we find ourselves willing to judge and call out, may you convict us in those moments to just pray for you to change their hearts and to change our hearts. God, for Tracy's brother, we're thankful that he was strong enough to make it to the surgery and that it was successful. We pray for his recovery and that he continues to get stronger every day. We pray for Ted and Rachel. God, for Rachel's coming biopsy. God, we pray for favorable results and wisdom for their medical staff. We also pray for his sister Eileen as she continues to go through this cancer journey and all the twists and turns it has taken. God, we pray that the blood clots and the medicines for that is working, and that the immunotherapy treatments would work as they're designed to, and that she would be strong and well enough to be able to return to work. God, we do ask that you would be with Elaine this week as she is going to undergo some little bit tougher radiation treatments. God, would you give strength to her body? God, would you give us wisdom as a church family to know how we can care and support them during the coming weeks? God, we do pray for our brother Willie. We pray that you would continue to give him comfort and peace and strength. God, as we have prayed for a couple or about a year and a half now, we pray that we do get to worship with him again. God, we do ask that you'd be with Angie this morning as she's fighting a sickness. God, I pray that you would make her well. And God, we're so thankful for the ways that you have blessed each of us, that you have shown yourself to each of us, and that we can believe and trust in you. May we give... May we be able to give ourselves in the ways that you call us to others who need you. But may we do that free of judgment. God, we love you so much. We ask that you would be with us as we continue to worship you this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. If you're able, I'd invite you to stand with me and sing. And sing. Yes, we're going to sing in a second. But before we sing, as you stand, I'd invite you to say the words of the Apostles' Creed with me. So join me as you say these words. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. If you would like more information, please visit us at www.mosaiceasley.org.